Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Those might sound like harsh words, but that's what I want us to talk about this morning as Paul was writing to the Romans in chapter 3 and verse 4. Before we get into the lesson, I want to thank everyone that's able to be out with us this morning. All of the verses this morning will be on the slides up here, so you can follow along up here for the entire lesson. I want to thank David for leading that song and say something about that for a minute. So, no tears in heaven. I did speak at the gravesite service yesterday, and there are so many places today. They talk about a celebration of life and everybody's happy and you don't need to cry. And the Bible has a lot to say about crying and mourning. And when Moses died, it talks about the days of their moaning and weeping about the death of Moses. When Jacob thought that Joseph was dead, he said that he was going to go to his grave mourning the loss of his son. And when Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, died, we all know what John records. Jesus wept. And God wants us to cry. He wants us to mourn over the physical things in life, because if we don't cry and mourn and are touched by the physical things on life, we aren't going to be touched by our sins. And that's why when Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount and he says, "Blessed are they that mourn," that's when we come to the realization of our sins, and we've been mourning and crying over our sins, and then we do something about that. But when we get to heaven, we aren't going to be crying, we aren't going to be mourning, and our tears are going to be wiped away. And it talks about God wiping our tears away. Our Father, God Himself, will wipe our tears away. One other thing before we get into the lesson. As I mentioned, Lord willing, as soon as we can, depending on the schedule, I want us to start the parables on Sunday evening, and we will promote that to the local community. So, the words of men versus the word of God. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Why do we need to hear a lesson like this? Our society, I would say, has changed, but it really hasn't changed. People want to listen to the words of man. And Paul, and again, just thinking of the two loved ones that we just lost, we don't know when any of us are going to die. And we need to be a little more direct with people in a loving way, getting them to see how important the Word of God is and how dangerous the Word of man is. When a man says one thing and God says another, God is right every time. How can we argue with that? And even just looking at this sentence, "Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar," we don't even hear the word liar anymore. It's been erased from our vocabulary. It's been rewritten, redefined. We hear the term misinformation. "Oh, they said some misinformation." What's that mean? What's that mean? That means they were lying. Well, does the Bible teach, when we think about the words of men versus the words of God, does the Bible teach it doesn't matter what you believe? Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:10, said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You see, we are not allowed to agree or disagree regarding matters of doctrine. What God says is what we believe. He's pleading with them that they would all speak the same thing. that there'd be no divisions. They were divided and following after different men. We can't take the words of men over the words of God. Does the Bible teach it doesn't matter what you believe? Well, think about this. If somebody believes something different, Jesus did not allow the Sadducees to have their own beliefs and interpretations regarding the resurrection. You know, if there is ever a time when Jesus could have said, well, you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe, you cannot imagine Jesus saying that. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Friends, that's a phrase we need to become a little more comfortable saying to our friends. Friend, you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures. You've been listening to this person. You've been reading that book. You're mistaken. You just don't know the scriptures. And again, I want to say I don't mean for this sermon to sound mean to anybody, but we just need to be honest. Do we believe God or do we believe man? We don't know when God is going to call us home. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. And we need to get back to the Bible. Does the Bible teach it doesn't matter what you believe? So many people say it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, what did Jesus say? Don't you think we ought to see what Jesus says? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness, iniquity. What is lawlessness? It's acting without law. It is acting without authority. Who are these people that were coming to Jesus? These were religious people. Bruce, are you saying religious people aren't going to make it into heaven? I'm not saying that. Christ is saying that. Don't take my word on anything. You can disagree with me all day long, but do not disagree with what Christ said, what the Bible says, because that is going to be the standard that's going to judge us. Back to that first slide I have every week that I didn't read. But Jesus said that his word is going to judge us in the last day. So when I get to the judgment, it's not going to be what my preacher told me or my friend told me or this book I read. It's going to be the words that Jesus spoke. And it's words. It's not the thoughts that we have, the feelings that we have, the intentions. It's the word. And we can all open up our Bible and read that word. Well, the Bible teach it doesn't matter what you believe? In 1 Peter, we must know the truth in order to obey the truth. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Does it matter what we believe? Well, we are to obey, so it matters what we believe. We want to believe the truth so that we obey the truth. That's the only, how are we going to know the truth? The only way we're going to know the truth is by going to the truth, by to God's word. Well, what about this? We hear this. This is the words of men today. One church is just as good as another. Bruce, don't you know that? Your church is just as good as my church. And just using that terminology, they do not understand what the church is. Jesus came to establish, to build his church. That church, that word means the called out assembly, called out of their homes to a public place. We are called out for a purpose. When we are baptized, we are added to that church. But in Matthew 16:18, Jesus speaking, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So the question is, how many churches are there? Did Jesus say, "I will build my churches"? No, he said, "I will build my church." That's singular. That's one. What is one? One is more than zero and less than two. Now, if I talk about my wife, do you have a problem understanding how many wives I have? If it was a problem, I would have a problem too. What is the church referred to as? The bride of Christ. We understand. If I say my wife, that means more than zero and less than two. My church. There's just one church. Just one. But people will say that one church is as good as another. Well, friends, Jesus is only going to save one church. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That body is the church. Christ is the head. He is going to save the body. So, is he going to save the people outside of the body? No. No, it doesn't say that. He's going to save the body. And how do we get into that body? We're baptized into it. When we're baptized, we're added to the church. So, men still say one church is as good as another. People, they don't join the church of their choice. They are added to the Lord's church when they are saved. So we go back to Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. It's the same thing today. The Lord adds to the church those that were being saved. Well, which church did he add them to back then? Which church did he add them to? He added them to his church, the Lord's church, the one body. So when we talk to our friends today that are in churches, these churches created by men, they came along too late to be the Lord's church. When Jesus said that that when it's recorded that the Lord added to the church daily, did he add them to the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness? These came along too late. He couldn't have added them to these. These churches are too late to be the Lord's church. Which church were those in Acts 2:47 added to? The Lord's church. That's the words of the Lord. The men say they will add you, you can join the church or whatever they say. But again, we have to weigh the words of man with the words of God. Consider this. Perhaps the reason Joseph of Arimathea loaned Jesus his grave is because he knew Jesus would only need it for 3 days. So when Joseph took the body of Christ and it was prepared to go into this grave, it didn't stay there. We serve a risen Savior. All of those men that formed those churches, you can go to their grave sites today, and they're still going to be in the ground. Jesus, the church builder, he is not going to be in his grave. He rose from the dead. He was the Son of God. He was victorious over death. He was victorious over sin, victorious over Satan. He built his church, the kingdom of God, the church. Well, what do men say? The words of men versus the word of God. The world will tell you different ways to be saved. And again, I'm not trying to make light of any group, but there is information out there that is published, and we just need to be honest and compare with what the Bible says and with what men say. Some teach that faith only saves. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. I've heard this quoted from the time I was a young child. This is teaching faith only. Did God say that? No, that's words of men. If you want to believe that, just understand that's words of men, and understand that Jesus said in the judgment, you aren't going to be judged by the words of men. You're going to be judged by what I said. The word that I spoke will judge you. So let's look at that closer. The words of men versus the words of God. James 2:24, does he agree with that statement I read just before that? You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So we have a conflict here. This man says we're justified by faith only. And James, an inspired writer speaking by the Holy Spirit, says we're justified by works and not by faith only. Which one are we going to choose? Which one are we going to choose? There are consequences and outcomes depending on your choice. Again, back to the words of men, the Holy Scripture containeth all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man that it should be believed as an article of faith, or be thought requisite or necessary to salvation. And even in these writings of men, I think most of the people that follow these don't even read what are in these writings. We are accounted righteous before God only for the merit of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ by faith, and not for our own works or deservings. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. How would you answer that? I would go back to Matthew 22:29. You're mistaken not knowing the scriptures. You might believe that, but you're mistaken, because this is what God says. And I, you know, Carol's mother, we were expecting it. She could have died years ago. She died at the age of 102. I kept telling my people my brother could die at any time. And when I got the call Thursday night that they was taking him to the hospital, I still didn't think it would be soon. And then getting the call Saturday morning, and then a message later that he had passed. Friend, this is why we need to talk about these things. And our loved ones that have gone on, we cannot do anything about them. The only thing that we can do for anybody is ourselves. We've got to understand this ourselves, first of all. We are only going to be responsible on the day of judgment. I'm only going to answer for myself. But I also want to understand what God says so I can share what God says with honest hearts. And does that mean that everybody's going to accept it? No. But if someone has an honest heart, they're going to accept God's word. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. Well, the words of men versus the words of God. Does the Bible teach baptism doesn't save? A lot of people will say that baptism doesn't save. The Bible says the exact opposite in 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. A different translation corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. How can someone say that baptism doesn't save you when God says, the Holy Spirit says, God saves you. God saves you. I would tell my friends, you're mistaken. You don't know the scriptures. So, the Bible, does it teach baptism doesn't save? Well, we got to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of water baptism? Maybe if we understand the purpose, we can understand what it does. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So one, the purpose of salvation is to be saved. Acts 2:38, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The purpose of baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. The purpose of baptism is to wash away sins. Well, which baptism are we talking about? You know, preacher, there's different types of baptisms out there. We're talking about the baptism we can read about in the Bible. Well, you know, you can read about people in the Bible and their families were baptized, so their babies were baptized, so we baptize babies. Oh, really? Is that Bible baptism? Acts 16:15, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So people will take this as one of the passages saying to prove infant baptism, baby baptism. Well, when we look at baptism and what God says about baptism, in Mark 16:16, we have to ask ourselves, can a baby believe? When we look at Acts 2:38, we have to ask ourselves, can a baby repent? Matthew 28:20, we have to ask ourselves, can a baby be taught to observe all things? Acts 8:38-39, we have to ask ourselves, is a baby baptized by immersion? Ezekiel 18:20, we have to ask ourselves, does a baby have sin? Colossians 3:17, we have to ask ourselves, is infant baptism in the name of Jesus? Is it by his authority? But people will say, you just don't understand. This is what we believe. We baptize babies. And again, back to another article here. Baptism is not only a sign of profession and mark of difference whereby Christians are distinguished from others that are not baptized, but it is also a sign of regeneration or the new birth. The baptism of young children is to be retained in the church. This is man's words. Man's words. And I think sometimes when they write up these religious articles, when you can use one word to say something, they use three words just to make it sound bigger and more important. But the words of man says, the baptism of young children is to be retained in the church. Friends, it never was in the church. You can't find any place where it was in the church. Jesus is the only way to the Father. The only way we can get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, we're added to the church. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. And then after the judgment, we will have our reward. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There are two rewards that are going to be handed out in judgment. We will be rewarded for how we live. We will be rewarded either with eternal life or we will be rewarded with eternal punishment, eternal death. And just as a side note, people think that people that have died are enjoying their reward in heaven. Well, the Bible talks about a universal judgment when people from all nations, all generations will come together and be judged. So many of the ideas that we hear about heaven do not come from the Bible. And friends, the only way that we can know the mind of God and the things of God is by what he has revealed to us. This book, this Bible, is what he has revealed to us. Now, I might like this person over here or this other person. I might like them. but I'm not willing to lose my soul over what this person thinks. And I hope you're not willing to do that also. The words of men versus the words of God. Does the Bible teach once saved, always saved? So many people believe you're baptized. That's it. You can be baptized as your baby. All you have to do is be baptized, even if the baby doesn't even know what's going on, that even doesn't have any sin, can't repent, can't confess. That's your ticket to heaven. Well, James 5, 19 through 20, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. If once saved, always saved is true, why are there so many warnings about false teachers, about false doctrines, about apostasies coming? Friends, we can sin in such a way to lose our eternal life. 2 Peter 2, 20, 21, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Does the Bible teach once saved, always saved? You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Friends, Galatians 5:4, that's the words of God. It's not once saved, always saved. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, there is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus, by his authority. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Again, we don't follow the old law. We are living under the new law. How is that new law ratified? By the blood of Christ. And that blood also is for the remission of our sins. Romans 6:3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? And Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Friends, these are the words of God. These are the words of God, but people do not like to hear these. They like to hear those words that are full of comfort. They like to hear those words that you can live any way you want to and you'll be saved. That's what they like to hear. They don't want to hear this. The word of God versus the words of men versus the words of God. Friends, God's word prevails. You weigh the two. It does matter what we believe. There is only one true church. Faith alone will not save. Water baptism is essential for salvation, and we can fall from grace. People will say, well, you're just too narrow-minded. You need to get with it. Friends, all I'm doing is repeating what God has told us. We either can accept it or reject it. And some people will say, well, we get revelation today and we know we don't need to believe this. Well, again, that goes against what God says about later revelation. And if God is still revealing himself, then you don't know that you have the latest revelation. Maybe there's one, maybe he told you you can read this book, but then there's a revelation came after that, and he said, no, get rid of that book, just go back to my Bible. You see how confusing that would be? You would live in a state of spin the wheel, and you're always spinning and doing this and that. And that, again, not to make light of what some people believe, But I've had people come to my house to study, and they would make a point, and I would make a counterpoint to disprove their point. And sometimes they would say, well, this is what we believed, but then we came out with more information. We've got this book now to help us understand this. And what do? They keep pulling out more books that men have written to justify. When they say Christ is returning at this date and he doesn't, well, we misjudge, but we've got this information. He's coming at this date. Doesn't come? Well, we've got more information. You need to read this book. He's coming at this date. You know what the Bible says? Nobody knows when Christ is coming. Even Christ doesn't know when he's returning. The angels don't know when Christ is returning. Only the Father. That's what God's book says. But you want me to believe your book? Uh-uh. Romans 3:4. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. People don't like that word liar. Get over it. That's what God says. When man says one thing and God says another, God is right every time. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. This all comes from God. From God to Christ. He gave him that word that we are going to be judged by. And Christ came and he shed his blood, as was prophesied, to abolish the old law, to purchase the church for the remission of sins. And then we either need to follow his word or be honest with ourselves and say, I reject God's word and I know what God is going to give me for doing that. We can't have it any way we want it, friends. Friends, is there anybody that needs to respond to the invitation this morning? If you have questions about anything, I would be glad to talk with you later. But friends, it's either the words of men or the words of God. And friend, we need to read the word of God and we need to obey it. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.